harmed us. But first of all, I want to say thanks to y'all for allowing me to be here. You know, coming here to this church is actually a kind of a challenge in some ways, because we sit under the teaching of Dorman Dugan and Dr. Wayne Niffen, and so, you know, we're all in agreement. So it's like, okay, what new thing I'm going to bring to the table today? So I've just kind of written that off, and I said, well, Lord, I'm just going to give the presentation, brag on Jesus and what he's done in Africa, and it's going to be all fine and good. But that was Friday. Yesterday, the Holy Spirit downloaded some things to me. I was having my quiet time, and I was thinking about inheritance. And I came to realize, the Lord said to me, Dave, your inheritance is not waiting for you in heaven. You've already received it. And I thought, yeah, that's right, because the testator has already died, you know. And, you know, the covenant isn't in effect while the testator, while the one who made the covenant is alive. So, you know, the new covenant, that new juice, the new wine, and the new wineskin that came with it, that's mine already through Christ. Hallelujah for that, you know. I don't have to wait for pie in the sky when I die, you know, which is what I used to believe. I got it now. And you know what? I need it now. I need healing now. You know, I need to deliver healing now to others. I need the power to speak the word of God boldly in Africa and evangelize and father all of these young guns in Africa. And I'm telling you, if you want to know some of the young guns, just look at that little presentation up there. You know, you see all these pictures of young men, and they're up there for a reason. They're honored for a reason, because God selected them to be a part of Lost But Not Forgotten, as well as the kingdom of God, of course. That's the first and primary thing. You know, Mike, you were prophesying to Sino, right, this morning, and it was kind of funny what you were saying, because I received it all. I don't know if it got to you, brother. I hope so, but it sure didn't get past me, because I've been praying and asking God to, you know, translate me, and I want to see my boys in action when I'm not there, you know, and also I was, what was the other thing you see? Oh, the plane thing. You were talking about the plane. God's got the plane tickets, and well, what you don't know is that just yesterday I found out that when my travel agent booked our flights, suddenly they had changed, and we were coming into Houston and then Amarillo on the 7th of April after a 2-week trip. And now we're going to Houston on the 7th, like original, but we're not coming back to Amarillo for 2 days. And I'm like, huh, okay, how did that happen, Leanne? So anyway, you know, your word was just reassuring that God's going to work all of that out. And if we have to stay in Houston 2 days, there's a good reason for it, you know. You know, and the ground is hard everywhere we go. Some ground is a little softer than others. Some is tropical, some is desert, and you're going to see some desert here in a second. Anyway, I got a lot to say, but I do want to show my appreciation, Dorman. Thank you again for having me here. I appreciate your tutelage, your friendship, teaching, you know, the whole package. Paula, of course, my wife, is the wind beneath my wings, and she is always a support and a help and doesn't realize her own value to the King and to myself, but I try to remind her of it from time to time. And all my friends and partners out there, praise the Lord. This is a glorious year, and this report, I hope, will stimulate you to love and good works just as it has myself. And let me see. How does this pointer work? Oh, here it is. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. So, review of two missions, because the last time I was here was last March before the Bilma mission. Next slide, please. And I got to go through this pretty fast, so please bear with me. This is the area of interest that the Lord has in my life and through my testimony. And so I've been to Chad, Cameroon, Nigeria, Niger, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Togo, Benin, and Ivory Coast. So we've covered quite a bit of area. You know, we've planted a lot of seed in these areas. And then there's this part that remains, and that will begin probably in 2 years. That's my I got a 15-year plan of getting the gospel to these Muslim villages. Now, the Lord told me to reach them all, and that's fine, you know, because he can do that. But I believe that specifically my role is to plant the seed in enough villages, in enough dark places where the light will begin to take off from those areas. Next slide, please. And this is Niger. We've done a lot of work in Niger. And that area is very dark. It's very dry. It's desert. It's desert for a reason, because there's just a dark force in this area. And then there's Chad there. That is a very difficult place also, and I thank God that we've moved on from there, actually. But on this trip, we landed in Niamey from Paris, and then, it's expensive to fly to Agadez, so we took a bus, and we thought we were going through Tassara up here into Agadez and Abala, but we ended up taking a southern route to Dosso and along this route to Madadi and Zinder, and then the second day, we went from Zinder to Agadez. So it took us a while. The Lord really lit a fire under me when we were in the hotel in Niamey. You know, it's a nice hotel, and I'll be honest with you, I was enjoying the break and the travel, and kind of kicking back, and then suddenly, like a ton of bricks, the Spirit said, "Son, get off your butt, get your tickets. At 3 in the morning, you're headed to Agadez." And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, so that's what we did. Next slide, please. And here's just a reminder, another slide reminding you, does it look busy? Yeah, it is busy. It's busy for a reason, because the Lord is sending us into a lot of unreached places. And I can't do it myself. So I got guys like Ayuba, I got Abdel, I've got Dudu, and I've got Eves. Where are you, Eves? I don't see you on here. I think it was so full I couldn't put them on here. But this is where we went in the fall, this area of Burkina Faso, the southwest area, and ministered to the Dagara and also the Jula. The names are important because what? They represent people. They represent people Jesus loved and died for. So that's why they're important. You don't have to memorize them. I can barely do it myself. Dudu right now is still ministering to the Niarafalo in the Ferkesadugu area of northern Ivory Coast. And I know Dudu's kind of a funny name, isn't it? Yeah. You know, there's also a drink. It's kind of a fruit shake. That you shake up, real sweet, and guess what the name of that is? Doo-doo, exactly. And we even, you know, Dr. Sherwood even took a picture of the can. He thought it was so funny. But it's like a treat for us, though. You know, when we want to splurge, and, you know, the anointing's on you, your blood sugar doesn't get high, right, Pastor? And so, you know, so we're good. Next slide, please. This is the area. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you back up again two slides? Right there. This is the area that we went to in March of last year. Fashi, Bilma, and Durku are these villages. They're kind of like a triumvirate of cities / villages in this area here, and they're among oases, you know, places where you can find water, but to get to them is, I wouldn't say nearly impossible, but it really stretches the man's ability in terms of what he can handle to get there and what he's willing to spend to get there. This trip from Agadez to Bilma doesn't look that long, although it's probably one-third of the whole country. But anyway, this is the closest airport, closest city. And even Difa is not as close as Agadez. And it took us 16 hours to go by 4x4 through the desert nonstop, except to throw up and have diarrhea. You know, that was the only times we stopped, you know, to get to this place. Even Musa, who is the first Canary evangelist among his people, said, "David, there's nobody that lives there. Why do you want to go there?" I said, "The Holy Spirit said we need to go there. That's the final answer, you know. said, oh, okay. So I sent him there, and he goes, wow, the president's here of the country, and 5,000 people live in this city, and you're right. And I'm like, yeah, well, I wasn't right. He was right. But it was interesting that the president did come during his visit to this city, because it's really in the middle of nowhere. All the houses are made out of salt, salt clay. Yeah, and it tastes like salt. It's potassium-based clay. So anyway, next slide. Here's the guys that they're. I usually send them on a recon trip before I go on any big expedition, so the Lord can smooth out the rough roads. We can get permission from the government and whatnot. So here they are resting in the desert. They decided not to go all the way in one day, and so they had to sleep in the desert. Very cold at night, gets down around freezing, you know. So it takes blankets, and it's everything you have, clothed and blankets on top of it to survive the desert at night. And this is just not a picture from the National Geographic, okay? This is where we went. This is what we traveled through. Next slide, please. And again, here, not a picture of National Geographic. These are caravans of camels. I got this off the internet, however. And this is the path that they and we took to get to Bilma. It's along a trade route from actually as far as Mali to Timbuktu, Mali, where they sell their salt and that they've picked up in Bilma. And then they go back. It's a three-month trip to get there. And 3 weeks from Agadez by camel. Next slide, please. But that says, behold, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to make rivers in the desert and highways in the wilderness. You know, God is doing something new in this area. You know, and if you guys have not heard it, then it should be music to your ears, because the Lord is reaching out to people in lost places, to the worst, to the last, the lost, the least. God is setting his sights on these people, the lost but not forgotten of God. This is a guy at the bus station, and it's 3 a.m, like I said. And why did we take a 2-day bus ride instead of a 1-day? Well, my son Abdel is new to this area. He's from Burkina Faso, but he speaks French, so I used him in this capacity. But that's not the reason why. The reason why is so this man could get saved right here and get a Bible and start reading in John chapter 3 the very morning we led him to Christ. Next slide, please. And this is the infamous bus ride to Agadez. Very difficult, very uncomfortable, very long, very hot. And so we didn't have AC. And the windows did work, so we were able to get a little bit of air. That's my buddy, Mike Hansard. He's one of Wayne's boys. And this is my son, Abdel Nakru, from Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. Next slide, please. And that's how we dress in the desert. And it's not for style. It's not even really to fit into the culture. It's practical, you know, because the dust is so bad when you're traveling through there. You got to keep it out of your eyes, nose, mouth, ears. And this headset here helps us do that. Next slide, please. And here's a light moment just before I start vomiting violently and having diarrhea, right before I get on the 4x4 in Agadez for a 16-hour trip that I didn't think I would survive. And I'm not joking about that. I called Paula and I said, honey, you know, we've had a good marriage, and, I don't want to alarm you, but I'm extremely sick, and I'm getting on the 4x4, and we are going to go. And I hope by the time I get there, I'm still alive. And indeed, I was. Once I got out of the vehicle, after about the 20th time of vomiting, you know, the Lord said to me, my fever had finally broken about an hour before that. We got out, and the Lord said to me, well, Dave, how do you feel? I notice you're not dizzy. And of course, God doesn't waste words, does he? He says things for a reason, and he doesn't always spell it out. He wants you to work through it and figure it out. Listen. I said, yes, Lord. Yeah, I'm not dizzy. I lost all that volume, and I'm not dizzy. How is that possible? He said, I don't know. And then I realized that God had actually supernaturally kept me alive for that trip. I didn't even have any really side effects. I was a little tired. But that afternoon we arrived, we had no plans other than to meet with the officials, and I was well enough to do that. And the next day we went to work. So next slide, please. This is the F troop that we had to rent so that they could receive the word of God. Next slide, please. Desert, next slide. These are things you see, Libyan refugees. Of course, the Bilma is just south of Libya. So you see a lot of Libyan refugees coming through here. And that's one of the reasons why I've got so much rebel activity in some otherwise peaceful African countries. It's because these folks, like a virus, have come in and invaded the land and have brought that demonic spirit with them. New slide, please. Next slide. This is finally where we arrived in Bilma, and we stayed in this place here. Interesting thing was the Methodists had actually gotten here before me. And they built this about 10 years ago, but nobody lived in it. Well, there was one Christian soldier who was transferred to Bilma. He was a great soldier, and he was trying to figure out why they transferred him here to the middle of nowhere, like being transferred to Alaska if you worked for the U.S. But anyway, he never, you know, was not politically incorrect. And I finally said to him, look, God transferred you here, not the government. So don't worry about that. You're here for a reason. You're here to bring the good news to your brothers in arms and to the people of this area. So we baptized him in the Holy Spirit, and I gave him a devotional and got him on track. So he's equipped now to do the things of God. Next slide, please. And this is where we rested. Can you believe they had a foam mattress? I mean, oh my gosh, that was so wonderful. You know, that was a gift from the Lord for sure. Normally we sleep on these mats, but by the grace of God, you know, we got this. Now, we're not there for comfort, and Jesus knows that. But every once in a while, he'll throw us a bone, you know, cream for our coffee, I don't know, whatever. But it's nice when he does that, because you recognize his goodness is manifest in so many ways, and the small ways make a difference. Okay, that's Musa there, and that's my son Emma, I believe, and that's Abubakar. Abubakar is the national. He lives in Agadez. He's a Tomashek man. And with him, we've reached out to many Tomashek villages over the years in Niger. He's with us to help us on this mission. Next slide, please. And there's the man I was telling you about. Wonderful man, you know, just an attractive fellow, just so sweet and nice. And now he's empowered with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I don't even remember his name. I apologize for that. In fact, I asked Abdel. I said, Abdel, do you remember his name? And he said, no. And I said, well, I told you to call him and follow up with him. And so much for that. But we need to pray for him. Next slide, please. He's alone, but he's not by himself. He's with the Lord and his family. Well, this is what we do to show the love of Jesus, and as a key to get into the villages, as you know, is to meet them where they're at, to provide love in a practical way. And also, you know, when we find a kid or a person who can't be healed by what we've got, it's exciting, because then we get to pray for them. And I saw Joe do the same thing in Ghana when I trained under him. And I thought, why is he laughing that this kid is a deaf mute, you know? And now I get it, because now it's a chance to see the power of God at work through you. Wow. Next slide, please. And there's Mike with his kids, you know, see all these hands going up. And Mike led, I don't know, 350, 400 children to the Lord. The Lord showed me several years ago that we were leaving fruit on the table when we weren't addressing the kids, because those are the future of the kingdom. And so we now have someone, I insist we take somebody who will act as our children's minister when we get there. And this time it's Drew Wilburn from Pantex, and he's from Hereford. He's one of Pastor Wayne's boys. Next slide, please. And just to show you the local dress, I think she's got a ring in her nose too, and colorful. These are the Bilma Canary people. New slide, please. And Michael preaching the kids with Abdel. Next slide, please. And this is what our evening outreaches look like. Dark, black and white, and a bunch of kids, though. 150 people got saved that night in Bilma. And the next night, we suffered greatly, you know, getting stones thrown at us, and hurt my shoulder and my back from that. It lasted for weeks, the pain, for some reason. I think probably because it was also spiritually inflicted, you know. And it was sad, you know. We forgave the kids who threw the stones, but, you know, you begin to experience a little bit about what Jesus went through. You know, he's just so sad. You know, that he wasn't damaged by the persecution. It saddened him because, you know, he wanted to gather the people, the kids of Jerusalem, like a hen gathers its chicks. But you will refuse. You refuse my love. You refuse the goodness of God. Ah, it's horrible. And we experienced that same kind of feeling. Next slide, please. This is in Durku. And the harvest was even less in Durku. Many more people, less of a harvest. But we did the medical outreach. We led, next slide, please, some folks to the Lord during the medical outreach, saw some miracles, and continued to do what God's called us to do. Next slide, please. This nurse right here and this nurse, they saw the hand of God work on a patient. This man came in, and he was blind because of hypertension. Acute hypertensive episode. His blood pressure was so high he couldn't see. And this nurse heard, she told the man, you know, I've heard that Christians can raise the dead. Would you like me to get this doctor and have him pray for you? And, you know, she told me that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Great. Thank God I'm on his mission and equipped to do his will through the power of the Holy Spirit. But so I did. I went and prayed for the man. And two or three minutes later, you know, he couldn't see any fingers, you know, and initially. But two or three minutes later, I said, I could tell he stopped crying and he was motionless and calm. And I thought, he's better now. And I said, well, how many fingers now? He said, three. I can see fine right now. I said, would you like to receive the Lord? Yes. And then these ladies received the Lord, and I gave them a proclaimer, which is the New Testament in the Canary language so they could understand it. And I wish the story ended there, but the guy came back the next day with the same problem. But this time he had friends with him, and he renounced the Lord and wanted to follow Muhammad. And I said, well, fine. They wanted me to pray for him again. I said, no, I'm not going to pray for him again. You know, I've prayed for him once. He knows who healed him. And I said, if this is your decision, you can follow Muhammad right to hell, because that's where you're going to be in a couple of days, because you're not going to last long with a blood pressure like this. So I know that sounds harsh, but once in a while, you got to talk like that, because this was a life or death situation for him, and an internal life or death situation. Next slide, please. This young man and his brothers in Durku all came to Jesus, And I said, well, who's chief among you? You know, because there's always somebody in leadership, no matter how old you are. And they pointed to this guy, and I said, would you like a New Testament in your language? And he said, yeah. You know, so here he is listening to the proclaimer. Next slide, please. That's me and Abdel. We're traveling now from Durku to Fachi. Next slide, please. And this is Fachi. And this is where we stayed. Wonderful place to stay. You know, we're grateful for this area. Next slide, please. And here's the the chief of the village. He's more of a king. I forgot the name. But anyway, and there's our team. Next slide, please. He didn't come to Christ, by the way. It was an interesting response. But so here we are at Fachi. We're watching the Jesus film. Here's Musa's foot and my foot, you know, and we're just leaning against one of these salt walls. And we got hundreds that came to Christ over the next couple of days here in Fachi. It was remarkable how the Lord just did some mighty works. And also we saw some miracles of healing, fevers being broken. And one guy who was a Muslim witch doctor, he walks right in front of me right here in the middle of the sand. And when he gets right in front of me, right about right there, he suddenly couldn't walk anymore. His legs started shaking and gyrating, and I felt a compassion for him. I got up and went over to him with Elijah Peter, and the Spirit said it's his Achilles tendon. So I looked at him in the face and I said, look, my Jesus is going to heal you. Don't worry any longer. And so I got down on my knees, grabbed his Achilles tendon, prayed for him. Got up, took him by the hand. I said, now start walking toward me. And he takes a clumsy step, one. I said, do it again, and a little easier. Do it the third time. And now he's walking normal, and he just walks off. Well, I didn't know he was a witch doctor at that point, and that he cursed Musa and the team. And it's kind of funny how the Lord works, his grace, you know. When he wants you, it doesn't matter. He's going to take you. He's going to find a way. And so I didn't share the gospel with him. We were watching the film. But don't you know that this powerful moment had an impact on his life, and then he came to Christ. Next slide, please. And this is the guy who is the manager of where we stayed, and he came to the Lord also, and he's listening to a proclaimer. Next slide, please. And we're leaving Fachi. Next slide, please. And that's our victory pose while we're broken down in the middle of the desert, you know. It was funny. I could tell we were under attack. We didn't have any trouble getting to Fachi, but after 450 conversions and people getting healed and the Lord showing himself strong, we broke down six times in the first hour leaving there. It was amazing. I was just like, oh my gosh, Lord, what is going on? Finally, after that fifth or sixth time, he said to me, that's it, Dave. You're going to be free from here on out. You know, I've released you. I've taken authority here, and you're fine. You're going to be okay. So sure enough, we didn't break down again for the next eight-hour trip back to Agadez. It was sweet. The Lord was sweet. Next slide, please. Okay, this is Burkina Faso, and you can tell immediately there's a difference. This is a tropical area, Burkina. Now there's desert areas in the north where we've been, but we're in the southwest part of the country now, and we're traveling through. It's at the tail end of the rainy season, yet we're still dealing with these kinds of issues. Next slide, please. Sleeping with mosquito nets in a church, you know, and thinking we're protected, right? Next slide, please. But this little guy here manages to crawl under the nets. Next slide, please. And this is what happens while we're sleeping. These blisters pop up. It produces this thing called cantharidin, which is a chemical, toxic chemical, causes a chemical burn on your skin. It's like a second-degree burn. you wake up in the morning, you got these big knots on you. And I got one on my back that still has a scar. And so it was kind of irritating, let me just say that. Next slide, please. And malaria has its downsides, too. This is Israel Marquez. He came with us on his last trip, and he got a bad case of malaria. These are some of the costs, though, that you pay when you go to Africa. I'm not receiving this disease, but I'm just saying that the Lord allows us to experience some things so we understand the privilege of what we're doing and get to see His grace as he works in our life. So Israel recovered. The funny thing was, we had a military coup come in at the end of our outreach. And so we're headed back to Ouagadougou, and one of our vehicles breaks down, so we have to tow it with a rope, and the rope breaks several times. And I'm just sitting in the vehicle thinking, just my mind's kind of blank, and the Lord says, wouldn't it be cool if you guys all got transported, And I was like, where did that thought come from? Lord, are you saying you could transport this whole group? And He said, yeah, I can do that. And I had no idea why He brought this up at the time, but I'm like, okay, well, it's mile marker, 55 now. Why don't you make the next one 20? So 30 seconds later, there's a mile marker every 5 kilometers. So 30 seconds later, we see mile marker 24 or 25 or something. I mean, we'd gone 15 kilometers in 30 seconds. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing, God. And I just put that on the shelf. And the next morning, I'm talking to Abdel. And I said, Abdel, something really funny happened yesterday. And he said, oh, you mean how we went from mile marker 55 to 40 in 30 seconds? And I was like, you saw that? God revealed that to you also? He said, yeah, we were transported. And I was like, it was no big deal for him, but it was to me. And so I found out why later, though. We got to the city, and there's still rioting going on and fires in the street and young men running around with nothing to do except, steal money from drivers. And so we were we got diverted off the main road into a village, and it was so hilly, and there's all kinds of puddles like you saw in that previous photo. And I'm like, oh God, what is this all about? And but it wasn't raining at the time, so we got led this way and that way, and we got the truck in tow, and ropes breaking, and I'm breaking down myself. And so we finally got up to a semi-paved road, and our front wheels touched that road, and it suddenly started pouring rain like an African rain. If you've ever been to Africa, you know what I'm talking about. And I tell you, it was then that I realized, maybe a little bit after that I realized, if we hadn't been transported those 15 kilometers, we would have been stuck in that muddy village all night long, in our trucks, unable to move, and it would have been a miserable situation for all of us. And I was like, okay, God, you had a purpose in what you did, not just to glorify yourself, but to take care of us. Thank you very much. So we went forward, and we got into some trouble. I won't describe it, but I requested immediate prayer, and thank God y'all are praying for me, and we got out of that jam. Then 15 minutes later, we were back at the hotel, dry, comfortable, and the stress of the situation was totally gone. There weren't any people in our area rioting. No fires, no blockades in the street, and we just glorified God. But our flight was canceled, because of all the trouble. But that gave us this young man and myself. I had a mild case of malaria. He had a severe one. Gave us 3 days to recover from this sickness. So we didn't have to get on the plane with a fever. And it took 3 days for them to get flights started again in the country. You know, you think about all the complexities of how God in his sovereign hand worked all of that out. It's mind-boggling. Next slide, please. And this is one of the chiefs. He didn't come to Christ, but this elder did. I said, you know, what's the measure of a person's love? And he said, I don't know. And I said, isn't it what he's willing to give up for you on your behalf? And he said, yeah, I guess that would be. And I said, Jesus gave his life for you so that you could have life, so you could live, so your sins could be forgiven. And he received Christ. And a couple hours later, he comes up to us with a goat. And I said, okay, what's that for? And he said, this is a measure of our love for you, for coming this far to give us this message, you know. So that was kind of cool. Next slide, please. And that's a mixture of our the elders, some of the team, and the goat he gave us. Next slide, please. This is our Muslim driver, former Muslim driver. His name is Anusa, and he received the Lord. The second night, he didn't want to watch a Jesus film because he was so battered by what Jesus had to suffer for us. And I said, I know what you mean. I have to watch this every night, you know, and be reminded of the suffering that Jesus went through. And he said, but the third night, he understood, and I led him to Christ, and he was very happy, very satisfied to receive the Lord, and he wanted to be baptized. And so this is one of the few people I've baptized in Africa, because the Lord hasn't sent me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Next slide, please. This is where we're headed in March 24th, to Gadawa. Gadawa is a fairly big city in northern Cameroon. This is the extreme north where we've done some ministry in the past. You can see Lake Chad up there. N'Djamena, the capital of Chad, is about right there. And the Waza district is up in here where there's a national park. And we've driven through there to get to Chad and also have done some work in some villages, built a church in Zigagi. But here we are. We're going to go to Gadawa this time. So we'll fly into Douala on the 25th. And then on the 27th, we fly to Gadawa, which is when the next flight is. And from there, we'll take our 4x4s and get some medicine and go into 6 villages among the Fulani people in this area. 6 villages that have never been reached, Mike. And we'll be looking for that sinkhole, that spiritual sinkhole. And so, let's see. What do I want to say about that? I guess that's about it on that. Next slide, please. This is some of the practical stuff. I don't mind talking about this because it's kind of cool what God's done. You know, in the first 5 years in the ministry, we saw about 15,000 Muslims, maybe 20,000 overall, come to Christ in various villages in Chad, Cameroon. You can read up here. Last 2 years, we've seen over 25,000 reached. Last 2 years, over 20,000 reached. 2 years ago, it was just 5,000, but last year, it was 20,500. And you guys have been consistently sowing into this ministry. And as a result, you have no clue, but as a result, you have got a harvest that is growing exponentially. And, you know, this isn't just about us going in there. We're on the front lines because we have that privilege, but you have the privilege of sending. And the result of your investments are paying off. You know, your investments in Wall Street's are not paying off, are they? But your investment here in this ministry is, because all of these people belong to you also. not just they're not just mine. They're not just the Lord. They're not just the Lord's. First of all, He's given us a kingdom, just as the Father's given Him one. And it's not just mine, because He's given you a kingdom, just like He's given me. And so, this is the beauty of the Lord, how He allows us all to share in this great harvest. So, over 20,500 last year. And this year alone, we're seeing over 1,000 Muslims come to Christ every week on the average. 1,100 Muslims coming to Jesus. We've seen over 4,500 come to Christ, an unreached people group. The Fulani, the Samo, the, let's see, I can't even think of the names of where Eves went. The K, K-H-E, with the accent on the E. I don't know how you pronounce that. We saw 150 there. And one of the guys that went with Eves to that unreached field said, you know what, I'm going to move my family to this place and pastor a church here. So, yeah, we're not about pastoring. We're not about discipling. We're doing the first stage of discipling. Let me just say it that way, which is to come to Christ. And that's the most important stage, because when you have the Spirit of God living in you, then, of course, it's 12 o'clock. Of course, that opens the door for Him and to water that seed and to cause growth within that individual. I mean, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people in dreams. He's discipling them in dreams all around the world. So the limitation isn't access. It's seed. Once they have the seed, well, then the sky's the limit as far as God's concerned. Future. Well, we want to extend our influence and break into Mali this next fall without losing anything that any areas that we've initiated ministry. We need operating expenses plus project money for things like three-wheelers. Three-wheelers are like little motorcycles with a bed on them. And they can carry audiovisual equipment, generators, and stuff, so that these guys can have access to the unreached villages where we go. You know, they're difficult to get to, even for the Africans. There are some places they won't follow up in because it's too difficult to get to, like Bilma. There's not going to be any follow-up there from our guys. It's just too expensive, too difficult, and they're not going to do it. But for these other guys in the villages near them, that's definitely going to be possible with these specialized equipment. Next slide, please. These are expenditures from 2015, $91,842. You know, 69% were direct mission trip expenses, whether it was the Africans doing the mission or myself. 9% went to pastoral support. Yeah, that $150 I give to each evangelist every month to keep them alive, you know. Musa gets 300, the others get 150, one gets 200. So 7% for equipment, 5%. You know, I believe in sowing seed into other ministries with the ministry money that we have. That I think that's biblical. It's not all about us, you know. We're just one of the cogs, you know. Each one of you has his own ministry also. You know, I say this everywhere I go, that Lost But Not Forgotten isn't the penultimate of ministering to people, okay? It's one opportunity that you guys have. But your own church has to come first before these pseudo ministries are funded. But you know, it's just an opportunity, and I appreciate what you've done so far. 1% for hunger relief, and 9% administrative cost. I think that's pretty good. For 2016, we're looking for this amount plus $10,500 for the three tricycles to get to the villages with equipment, plus an additional $10,000 for outreaches by Africans. You know, we had a fundraiser last November that went pretty well, but that money's gone. First of all, we had $6,000 less dollars for the Christmas time than we normally get, and we had more outreaches. You know, we're putting these guys to work. We're letting the thoroughbreds run, and they're generating fruit. I don't talk about Ayuba much. He's on the board, I think. But, yeah, he's down there. But anyway, Ayuba went to northeastern Burkina, where I saw there were some unreached people groups. And he led over 4,000 of those folks to Christ. And the size of the group wasn't even 4,000. So he must have, you know, reached out to other cultural folks. But they're all Muslim that he went to. It's incredible outreach. Musa, they dug into hard ground among the Manga in southern Niger. Total cost of that trip was $3,500. So the money is going out and being used appropriately. But let me just say, you know, we don't have a rainy day fund. We're not like Southern Baptist Church Convention, you know, that has billions in the bank and just waiting for opportunities for God to tell them how to use it. You know, when we have money to do something, we do that something and worry about funding of the future later. So anyway, next slide, please. And the point is so that we can continue to reach out to young children like this for treatment, for sharing the gospel, so that they have a future in our Lord's kingdom. Going to the worst first. You know, the only ministry I've seen that matches kind of our theme is Samaritan's Purse. I will run into folks like them once in a while. You know, they're in Chad. They're in those dark areas. They're in northeastern Nigeria. So I have a lot of respect for Franklin Graham. But otherwise, you know, I'm not saying we're it, but I'm just saying we don't run into a lot of missionaries. I remember my brother-in-law said, you know, why don't missionaries share resources more, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe because there aren't any. You know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And I am just, my wife and I are privileged, and our volunteers and our partners and our partners in Africa, we're just privileged to be called to do this. And to have friends like you involved makes this so much more enjoyable and easier to accomplish. I had something else I wanted to say, but that's at least 30 minutes, so I'm going to save this for another time, if that time should arise. And I was going to talk about understanding the gift of God from John 4:10. But it's already after 12, so I think we're going to stop there, Pastor. So anyway, thanks again for letting me share this good news with you. You know, it's not about lost but not forgotten, guys. Let me remind you, it's about Jesus. So what we're doing here is bragging on what Jesus has done. And that is, I can do that anywhere and have an open door to do that. As long as we're not promoting ourselves. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Thank you very much. God bless you.